I mean, there's been slight interaction.
I was like, I do, but like, I've gotten favored.
Oh, if you want to call Scott Mosher a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to count Scott Mosher and Kevin Smith and Hannibal Buress, yeah, I guess so, but...
Yeah, I think I might have got a favorite once from Anthony Kumia.
Nice.
Yeah, that's probably about as famous as a person I've interacted with on Twitter.
I think the most famous would probably be the favorite I got from Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good.
Yeah, considering I made a fat joke on him and he favorited that, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, well, you know he likes self-deprecation, so.
Yeah. Hey, did you know Kristen Stewart is the daughter in Panic Room? I just found that out.
That's her?
Yeah.
Wow. She was even boring back then.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's not weird that she was boring. It's just weird that that was her.
I literally just tweeted, what? Kristen Stewart was the daughter in Panic Room? No wonder that movie sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Boring herself. Wow, that's crazy.
So speaking of movies, real quick. I told you about, I talked to somebody about Fight Club.
Right.
And they knew the ending before watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought it was kind of the Tyler Durden being, or Jack being Tyler Durden, or however you want to say it, was obvious the entire time.
Crazy.
But I talked to somebody else. They also knew the secret before they watched it. They agree that it's obvious.
Well, once you know, it's like seeing a stain on someone's shirt and them saying, you know, can you see it? Well, of course you can see it. You know where it is.
Oh, like you know. if somebody says, can you see anything on my shirt?
Yeah.
Or do you notice anything on my shirt? And you go, no. But then they're like, but if they were to say, is this stain really noticeable?
Yeah, they'd be like, look, I spilled coffee. And you're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, well, how bad does it look? Can you see it? And you're like, well, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking for it, but.
But it's impossible to pretend that it's not there. It's the same thing with knowing that Tyler and Edward Norton are the same person. You can't unpretend. You can't pretend that you can't unknow it. You know?
I think knowing it,
it changes the whole perspective.
Yeah, and it you can't say that, cuz I mean it's like 20/20 vision, you know, knowing the end before you actually see it, you can't then go back and be like, well, if I hadn't known it, I still would have figured it out.
Yeah. No, and that's the other thing. Once you see it once, that's it. You can never know what it's like to not know it again. Like, you can't go back and have this revisionist history and say, you know, oh, I would have known. It's like, that's it. You're done. You know it. That's it. You can never view that movie as having not known. No, I hate when people say that.
No, you would not think that if you were watching it for the first time. Like, after you know it and you go back and, like, you look for the hints, you're like, all right, there was a hint there, there was a hint there. Like, yeah,
it's once you know, it seems very obvious, but it's such a well-made film that the first time you watch it, you can explain away all those hints as being other things.
Yeah.
Is meaning other shit. Or just like an interesting way to film it or something, but then once you know, then you're like, oh yeah, you know? Like perfect example is like Jack and you know, Edward Norton and Brad Pitt, they're having a fight, and Brad Pitt's in the basement, Edward Norton's in the kitchen, and Marla's standing at the top of the stairs to go to the basement.
Yeah.
And she's basically, it's like she's passing messages in between them, mm-hmm. like arguing. And you're like, why aren't they having this argument face to face? But the whole reason is because she is there. They can't. They cannot have the argument. Like, it wouldn't work, you know? And you don't realize that the first time you watch it, you're like, oh, okay, they're being childish. She's, like, passing the messages between them. Or, you know, it's stupid. But it's like, after you see it, you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that makes perfect sense now. But you wouldn't know that when you first saw it.
You don't pick up on that. You don't pick up on that shit.
Not a movie like that. Like, there's movies... Like, all right, granted, there are times when, like, there's a twist in a movie or something. And there are – I've done it before. Even if the twist is a pretty good twist and it's not obvious, where right from the beginning you'll notice something real quick and you'll be like, wait, like, boom, I – you know, he's dead. He's not really alive. You know, like
yeah.
Or something like that. And, you know, that happens not often. But you know that'll happen. It's happened to me before where I knew the ending like right away. I was like, oh shit, and it kind of ruined the movie for me. And yeah. I wish I didn't know it. But no, not that movie.
No, that's... I mean, yeah. Again, if you know the ending going, I was, and all those guys followed him. He was nuts. That's the point, because they're damaged too. We're all damaged. That's the point. We all have problems. We're all looking for answers. That's the point. I didn't get as pissed off. We all have problems. We all have issues.
I mean, like, the only, like, yeah. Perfect example, if you want to see why did they follow him, picture them all as Nazis, okay? Picture the Project Mayhem guys as Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all damaged goods. They're all fucked up, and they're all... Like, I need guidance. I need a leader. And picture Tyler Durden, whether he's Jack or whomever, as Hitler, who says, I got the answers, guys. We're gonna cause craziness here. We're gonna cause mass hysteria.
I don't know whether you're doing an impression of Hitler.
No.
Or Brad Pitt. But it was very good. You were like, I got the answer, guys.
No, yeah, but no, we're gonna run around in all black uniforms and combat boots. And we're going to act like maniacs, and we're going to do this and that, and this is, you know, and the way society functions right now is wrong. We're going to change the game.
Yeah. And you know what? Good.
That's what it is. It's not – and I'm not saying that they were Nazis in particular, but I'm saying that that's the mentality.
Yeah, and it's not like they were normal people.
No.
It's not like they're average people that have their shit together.
It's not even so much that they weren't average people. A lot of them were, but they grew up in a time and a situation where they just don't have the guidance that, you know, like they talk about like the lack of male role models, you know, they talk about like all that shit. And it's like guys who just are like, you know what? Yeah, I've got a job and I've got a family or whatever, but like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? And I think a lot of guys nowadays can relate to that.
Yeah, and because it wasn't like they were, and by average I meant like they were sane. It wasn't like they were sane people.
Yeah. They were.
I mean,
you wouldn't be sane if you're willing to blow up skyscrapers.
Yeah, they weren't sane people to begin with. They were people that had issues, like you said. They were looking for answers.
Right.
And they're looking for guidance because – and they specifically say it in the thing because Brad Pitt does that whole thing about, you know, he went to college and they said, okay, Dad, now what? Get a job. So I got a job. He said, okay, Dad, now what? I don't know. Get married. Have kids. And, yeah. You know, and they do that whole scene in the bathroom that sets everything else up.
Yeah.
And the point of is they have no guidance. They're raised by women.
By women. Yeah, he's like, we're a generation of men raised by women.
Yeah, they're all boys. They don't feel like men.
So how would you know how would you know how to act like a man?
Yeah. And
you don't.
And then Tyler Durden comes along and is like, this is what you do.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, I don't know any better way. And this guy seems like he's got all the answers because he at least acts like he does.
Yeah. And really, all you have to do is get the first two guys involved. And then after that, it's people fighting people. So yes, the first two guys, the first two guys were probably really insane to follow the guy beating himself up.
Yes.
After that, though, then it's guys fighting guys, and that undoubtedly unlocks something primal and animal within the other guys, and they want to be included in it because it makes them feel like men.
Right, and that's the whole thing. That is the whole thing, is that it's where... not the whole thing. There's a lot of themes in there. But one of the main themes is, where does the average, probably white guy who works in a shitty job, where does he fit in the world? Because what he's doing is not what he was programmed to do. Like, he, like, you know, it's like, how do you suppress all your instincts as a human being to do something that you hate, or act a way that you don't feel like you should be acting?
And all the people, and it's set up very well in the movie too, all the people involved in Fight Club and Project Mayhem are the low-level job people. It's the bus driver. It's the guy. It's the guy at the restaurant. The people that deliver the mail. It's all the people that work the third shift in the office buildings to clean them. That do the security.
The highest level people in there are the cops, and the cops are just beat cops. You know.
Yeah, they're not that high up.
Right, exactly. They're just regular cop. They're not, you know, it's not like it's the fucking chief or anything.
Yeah, they're just regular salt of the earth detectives that seem like they've been disillusioned with the job. Yeah. So it's exactly that type of people that I think would be attracted to something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a thousand themes in there that you could go on with how society functions. There's theme you can get into, how Chuck Palahniuk is I is that how his name is said? I always say it like that.
How do you say it?
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. I think that's how you say it.
Is that how you say it? I always say it like that. I mean, he's gay. I mean, you could get into a whole thing about these guys only needing each other and not needing women in their lives.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could you could also take it as the story is, when he wrote the story, it was him dealing with his masculinity and dealing with his masculinity in the light of being gay. And you can go a thousand different ways with it,
But that's why it's so good.
Yeah, to discredit it, to be like, well, I knew the ending. I mean,
You're not looking into it enough. You're not, you know, Fight Club is at its best after you know the ending and after you rewatch it. Because the first time I watched the movie, I was much younger, and I watched the movie and I thought it was cool. I thought it looked awesome, you know, and I thought the twist was great and all that shit. I didn't actually appreciate the movie until I watched it again and again. And I watched it a million times because I wouldn't say I used to be obsessed with the movie. I still fucking love the movie, but I used to watch it all the time. And it's like, that's when you like really get those themes. And it, as a fucking middle class white male from America, I mean, that shit spoke to me. Yeah, I got that.
Absolutely. It's like watching Sixth Sense. Jesus. Sixth Sense. And you're like, well, I knew the ending watching the movie, but it's not like the Sixth Sense really speaks to as many things as Fight Club does. Sixth Sense is like, well, I mean, it is what it is.
It's a good movie, but it's not necessarily any deeper than a thriller that has a good twist.
Yeah.
know, I knew the end. I knew the ending before I saw Sixth Sense. Someone told me, and you know, I still enjoyed the movie. I knew he was dead, but it was like, you know, I mean,
let's put it,
what it is.
I've seen it. I've seen it twice.
Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
I've probably seen it more than twice, but yeah.
I think I've seen it twice. And
you don't necessarily need to see it more than twice.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't really need to see it again. So, whatever. So I'm glad I recorded all that because we got a bit out of it. But
yeah.
So I got a news article about two things that we love.
All right. I'm ready.
It's short, but I mean, we get a lot out of stuff usually. I'm going to skip the title because it kind of blows it. Terrence Rudes. Hang on, where's this from? It says Times Union. I don't know where that is. That I printed it out so I wouldn't lose it. I don't know where Times Union is, but whatever. Wherever that may be. Terrence Rudes thought his trip would take him back in time. It earned him prison time instead.
Oh, boy.
In September, Rudes tried to do his best Back to the Future impression by mixing LSD and alcohol and then trying to drive his car into another vehicle because he, quote, thought I could time travel and drive through the other car.
Oh, he think you would disappear and just turn into two strips of fire?
Yeah, he goes,
where the wheels were.
I wanted to see what would happen. See, already he's smarter than Michael J. Fox in the third one.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, aren't I going to crash into those Indians?
Yeah.
No, Marty. Back in 1955, we still call them Redskins.
Wait a few years. You're not even supposed to call them Indians anymore.
Let's see. The laws of physics, however, did not comply.
Oh.
I think the laws of a lot of stuff. Oh, and neither did the laws of New York State, so that explains
why
they are.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a nice little play there.
Yeah. Maybe I should read that again to get the full effect and see if we can laugh since I fucked it up. The laws of physics, however, did not comply. Neither did the laws of New York State.
Fuck New York.
We'll take a really long pause while everybody applauds and laughs. Rudes crashed into another vehicle and injured the driver. On Thursday, Rudes 22 of Ballston Lake.
That's where I want to be from.
Where your balls weigh a ton.
Yeah.
That would
balls ton.
No, you wouldn't want to live there. That would be incredibly inconvenient. If your balls weighed a ton.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
No, you don't want to be from there.
Yeah, it'd be like that guy on, like, was he on Guinness or something? With the giant, he had the elephantitis of the balls.
Oh, and he had to put it in, like, the fucking wheelbarrow to go around?
Yeah. He was from some shithole country where they couldn't treat it. Anyways.
I mean, they could treat it. He just didn't want to get his balls cut off.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Anyways.
Where was I? Oh, Ruse was sentenced to 1.5 to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to vehicular assault.
Oh, wow.
This is a quote from Saratoga County District Attorney James Murphy. This defendant mixed alcohol and drugs and believed he could time travel like the movie Back to the Future. He told the police that he intentionally drove into the other car to see what would happen. Okay. The crash occurred September 17th on Church Avenue. Rudes crossed a double yellow line and collided head-on with the other vehicle.
I like how they're concerned with the fact that he crossed a double yellow line. I mean, he fucking intentionally smashed into another car while on LSD. And you're like, he crossed a double yellow line. Shut the fuck up. Who cares about the double yellow line?
You know, they wouldn't need to put that part in if earlier in the thing they had just said Rudes crashed head on into another vehicle.
Yeah.
Because I was assuming that he just floored it and was like, let's see you bastards do 90, and then
You just thought he was in the parking lot outside JCPenney.
Yeah, and then just smashed into the rear end of another vehicle.
Yeah.
I just assumed that he rear-ended a vehicle and didn't actually cross a line.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I didn't know. They could have been more specific.
Maybe he was like, I was trying to go into the future where we drive on the left, like in Boston, like in fucking England.
In Boston, were you gonna
say? I think I was going to go for Britain, and then I changed my mind partway through that word.
Oh, okay.
He was like, I'm gonna go to England. Marty. We drive on the other side of the road in the future. So I don't understand why he would cross over. I mean, besides the fact that he was on LSD and alcohol.
Here's the thing. He's driving along, right?
Okay.
And he's sitting and he's like, yeah, you know what?
Wait.
Me and my car, you know, we're going to go.
Me and my car.
Me and my car. We're going to go into the fucking future. We're going to hit 88. We're going to go in the future. Blah, blah, blah. He's driving along, and he's like, he just thinks of the, you know, how the car basically disappears, how the DeLorean disappears with the fire in the tire, and he's like, you know what? I mean, that's what's going to happen. And it's just, it was all too quick, and he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. See that car? I'm just going to drive right through it because it's not even going to matter. I'm going to be going over 88. I'm just going to go. And he went. He didn't even think of the laws of Back to the Future. He just
or
said,
the laws of physics or the laws of New York either.
Of New York State. No, he didn't care. He just said, you know what, fuck it. I mean, he made a rash decision and he was like, This sounds cool.
So he wasn't thinking about that when he hits 88 and the flux capacitor, which was not in his car at the time.
Which he did not have.
What if he did and they just didn't put it in there? Like he took pieces of pasta and put them on the back of the back seat and like taped them down.
He tried to he made his own flux capacitor out of fucking cardboard or something.
Yeah, and it's just cardboard with pasta taped to it, and he wrote flux capacitor. But it's probably spelled wrong, and it's like the F is backwards, and it just says flex instead of flux, and it just says constipate
Do you think that the judge would have been more lenient to him if he had gone through that length? Like, he would have been like, you know what, listen. He really, he was trying. He really...
No, like, I think, well, okay.
He definitely wouldn't have been more harsh, I don't think.
I think the judge, because here's the thing, the judge probably assumes that he's just making this story up.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if that was there, the judge would be like, okay, so he really thought this. But I think the judge would probably, like, send him for psychiatric evaluation.
That's crazy. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Because I bet the judge has probably never done any sort of hallucinogens before, so he probably is just like, this person's insane.
Like, if he... Okay, let's say he's driving. Does it say what car he's driving?
I hope it's an Impala with jersey plates.
I was going to say, I hope it's a Prius. Okay, whatever car he's driving. Let's say he does the fake flux capacitor on the back seat.
Yeah.
Okay. And he puts in something. He puts in like a telephone keypad to punch in the time.
Yeah.
And on the back, on the trunk of his car, he super glues a food processor and writes Mr. Fusion.
Mr. Fusion. He's pouring beer in there and then throwing the cannon.
Does he get arrested? Yes.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Does he get sent to prison, or does he get sent to a psychiatric ward? I'm thinking it might be the second one.
I bet you he would still go to prison, but I bet he'd go for like 30 days. It'd be like 30. They'd be like, you know what, this guy, he was into it. He was going for the full Back to the Future effect, and you know, it didn't work out, but, you know, we're not going to hold it against him.
Yeah, when we found him at the wreck, and we asked him if he was okay, he asked if he crashed into the Indians.
That would be great.
I think they would send him to wherever they sent Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt and 12 Monkeys. Wherever that place was, I think they would send him there. Like, well, if he went all out, I think that would be where they would send him. Because they would assume that he was just crazy.
Yeah, that might be true. Now, I think what they might imagine with the... If you went totally nuts there and had, like, the food processor and all that shit, is that it took him too long to do it where he wasn't on LSD the whole time. Because, I mean, I don't know how long LSD lasts.
That's why I'm assuming that they would think that he was
literally just crazy.
He was crazy to begin with. Like, I think they would be like, all right, yes, you were digging LSD, but I think you might be crazy to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, because you altered your vehicle to try and look like a shitty DeLorean with a Mr. Fusion on it.
Yeah.
So clearly there was planning involved, although I highly doubt this guy planned anything.
Oh, definitely not.
Hmm.
I mean, I would be so pissed off if I found out that he did do all that and that this person left it out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, come on, that's the best part of the fucking story.
Oh, I really wish he had, like, a salad shooter on the car.
He had a little stuffed dog, too, and he was like, wait, they're pulling him out of the wreck, and she's like, wait, Einstein! Bring me Einstein!
It's like, that's alright, I'll go back and get Copernicus.
the one guy pulling him out of the, pulling him out of the ambulance guy... was Middle Eastern, and he's like, the Libyans!
What are you doing here? It's supposed to be 1955. You people shouldn't be here yet.
He turns to some other white guy that's there, and he's like, Marty, run! It's the Libyans, they got
it's
me!
It's the Libyans! I gave them some pinball machine parts. I don't know how they find me, but they did.
He's in the ambulance from going back, and he just continues quoting movies.
And he's not even that, though. He's just quoting other movies.
No, just other time travel movies.
He starts quoting Terminator.
Yeah, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
But did I tell you about the time I saw Socrates?
That guy must have had a wonderful trip.
Now, I kind of want to go visit this guy in prison.
Now, do you think that... See, having never done, like, LSD or acid, I don't... Like, do you think, like, there's a buzzkill? Like, I don't know really...
Like, crashing your car into another one? Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be a buzzkill.
Do you think, like, by the time they bring you to the jail, you know, the police come, they grab you, they bring you to jail. Do you think, like, even though you still had a few good hours left in your trip, you're probably done?
Because
I don't know.
I don't think so.
You think you're still tripping?
I think so.
I guess I would assume so, too.
Because
I mean, it's probably not as much fun.
I would imagine that the effect of, like, LSD is such that... Because LSD and acid is the one where you can have flashbacks, correct?
Yeah.
Because I feel like then your brain is unable to control it. Like, if you're drinking, I mean, as long as you're not getting blackout drunk to a point or whatever, your body does have a way to, like, shoot you extra adrenaline to, like, compensate for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like with LSD, because you get flashbacks from it, I would assume that it's so powerful that your body doesn't quite have a way to snap you out of it.
I can only imagine that, like, LSD, like, you can't... like it's just gonna keep going until it's done.
Yeah, I feel like he was probably still tripping. I don't think they would have taken him to jail first. I think that, I was assuming that he would have probably come around in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be great if they just stuck him in a cell and he's just tripping in the cell.
I'm sure that's happened before.
Oh, I'm sure it has happened.
Somebody up tripping. The other thing is, it doesn't say how long he was tripping before he did this.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he was just on like a fucking 2-day bend. Like, he was just tripping for days. He just kept taking it.
Before this? Because I was going to say, I think once he's in the hospital, he stopped taking it.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know. It'd be great, too, if he, like, had some on him, and he was just like, well, he sees the blue lights, and he's just like, all right, and he just takes another drop. He's just like, whatever, I want to enjoy the next 10 hours.
Like he had a capsule in a tooth, like a cyanide thing, and he just broke the tooth, and then he took another hit of LSD.
Yeah. Or it's like on a piece of paper or whatever.
Maybe. Probably not. But then again, I don't know. This is a short article, so they might have left a lot out of it.
Yeah. A damn short article.
Let's see. I tried to find a longer one, but they didn't have it. The driver of the other vehicle is fortunate to have only suffered injury and not death, Murphy said. Murphy being the district attorney.
Oh, not RoboCop?
No.
Murphy.
Rudes will also have his license revoked for 1 year.
What does it matter? He's going to be in prison for like 2 years.
I'm guessing maybe it's after.
Oh, after? Oh, okay.
I would imagine maybe. It would have to be after, because he was also to have an interlock device on his vehicle for 3 years. Which, okay, yes, I guess that would help if he was drinking, but I'm thinking the drinking isn't what made him go, I'm going to go back in time.
Yeah, I don't think the drinking was the overriding problem here.
Look, I mean, look.
I bet he was drinking, and it probably didn't help. But
I've never been so drunk, especially in college, because that was probably when I was ever at my drunkest. But I don't think I've ever been drunk enough to be like, I can go back in time.
Yeah,
I can. I've never been. So it's got to have been something. The LSD that was in a system that was like, dude, you can go back in time.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm going to do that.
I mean, even your dumbest thoughts when you've been drunk, like, you know, like you've thought of something, you'd be like, dude, I'm going to do. And then you're like, wait, no, forget it. You know, and you kind of come around right away and just like, no, that's stupid.
usually I get like this idea where I'm like, that would make a really awesome movie, and I write it down, and the next day I'm like, that's a terrible movie. Or
and
I'm
you're
like
yeah. it's me and you, but it's the plot of Miami Vice.
Yeah.
And you,
or I'm like,
your tubs.
I was like, wait a minute, I think I just mixed up American Pickers and Indiana Jones.
I have a habit, like I will come up and I'll come up with an idea for like a TV show or a movie, and it is just the exact plot of something that exists already. And it's just like, I think I'm so brilliant. And someone else is just like, dude, like, you watch Pawn Stars all the time. That's already a show. Like, god damn it.
And it's not even like you were like, yeah, but it's in Boston. You were like, yeah, but it's in Las Vegas. And they're like, dude, it is in Las Vegas.
And I got this old man for a dad who's from, like, South Carolina. Yeah.
And we got this one guy that might be, like, a below 50 IQ. Like, he's like a fat Forrest Gump. And anytime they bring in a gun and we're not sure if it works or not, we're going to have him fire. What do you think?
We're going to bring him to the range and he's the test subject.
And they're like, no, really, that's Pawn Stars.
That's actually a show.
And you're like, okay, what if? those guys know a guy that restores cars, and they bring him in to do restorations on cars and appraise cars. And they're like, okay, now you're talking, just calling about that count guy.
And the
that always the wears the bandana because he's going bald.
Because his hairline is receding at a rapid rate.
And you're like, okay, fine. What if we get a guy who we're not sure if he's Canadian or not because he's always wearing cut-off denim?
But he doesn't own sleeves.
Yeah. What if we have him restore stuff that isn't cars? You're like, that's American Restoration. You're like, God damn it.
I just go through the entire History Channel lineup. Dude, Pawn Stars is like the All in the Family of the History Channel. Yeah. There's just so many spinoffs. It's insane.
You're like, listen, what if we do like a movie about like World War II, but instead of hiring actors to do it, we use actual footage from World War II and then have somebody narrate it. That's just a documentary. That's exactly.
And you know who I would have narrate it? Tom Hanks.
Not.
Because he's never done anything. He never does anything involved with World War II.
He narrated Killing Lincoln.
Oh, did he?
Which was actually really cool. And it was a mix of like them recreating scenes from like around that time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the cheesy, like, America's Most Wanted reenactments. They actually had actual actors doing it.
Yeah.
And the guy playing John Wilkes Booth was amazing. He played crazy really well.
Must have been a good actor. John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah. Well, supposedly they were like, John Wilkes Booth was like on his way to becoming the greatest actor of his time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I heard he was actually a pretty decent actor.
But. I was like, so basically, it's like if Brad Pitt suddenly was like, I'm going to kill the president.
Yeah, he just throws it all away and I don't know.
But that was really cool, except there was one part that was kind of weird because they would keep cutting to Tom Hanks, who was narrating the story. And he would just be sitting in a chair and there'd be like.
So they showed Hanks? It wasn't just voiceover?
He did voiceover, but yeah, they showed him every once in a while, too.
Okay.
Because it was originally on, I don't think it was on History Channel. I think it was on National Geographic.
Yeah.
But then they cut it together and put it out on DVD, and that's how I saw it.
Okay.
So, but they would do, there were obviously parts where I was like, oh, that's a break. Like, that's supposed to be a commercial break. And I think it was some of the time when they showed Hanks, and then also when they were like, because he would end and be like, Abraham Lincoln has 3 days to live. And then I think that's when they would cut to commercial break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think it was usually after that that they would cut to Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
Or sometimes
watching previously aired stuff, but like it's called Cut Together. And I just sit there and I'm like, commercial break, like you can pick them out where they would be.
Yeah, and you're like, that's completely where they cut to commercial. Yeah. But it was weird because they would cut to him and he was like, it looked like he was supposed to be in like a theater or like backstage at a theater or like maybe in like the back room of a museum where they have a bunch of stuff stored.
Yeah.
But he had like a chair and a table, but he would have like when they would cut to him, he would have weird things on the table next to him.
Please tell me he had like a drink.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't have like a scotch on the rocks.
And
he would clink them together and be like, and let me tell you something else about Booth. He was a great actor.
Kind of like me.
I never saw Booth dance on a piano, though. Did you? I didn't let Booth take top bunk. He just keeps referring to Big. Like, that's the only movie it refers to.
That would be awesome.
He was like, I never heard of Booth pretending to be a little kid in an adult body. He played Richard III. fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's easy.
He just gets really drunk in the middle.
By the end of it, he's just tragic. He's just, like, screaming.
He was like, you know what? I'm going to take my car, drive it down the highway. I'm going to go have a talk with Booth. See you guys later. Hank's out. And then he just drops the glass.
Hank's out. Was he Ryan Seacrest?
He just throws the glass down and shatters it. Walks away.
On his set that's supposed to look like a fucking backstage of a theater.
The cameraman turns and pants to the rest of the crew and they just have this blank expression on their face.
I don't know.
They're like, was that the guy from Big? Why did he do that?
He's a shit-faced again.
Somebody get the other guy from Bosom Buddies. Maybe he can talk him down.
Oh, God.
Whatever his name was.
Yeah, no one cares.
Somebody get that guy on the phone. Was it Rick Moranis? No, I think it was somebody else.
Some other Jew.
where are you going with this? Oh, but yeah, no, Killing Hank. Killing Lincoln.
Killing Hanks. Get the fuck out of here.
Killing Lincoln was really good, but it was something that Hanks did that wasn't related to World War II.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So, but it was good. It was interesting. I didn't realize that they actually tried to kill the Secretary of State and the Vice President at the same time.
I heard. Actually, I think I heard that, but it was recently. I did not know that for a long time.
Yeah, I only just found that out, and then the one guy actually did go and stab Secretary of State, but he lived, and then, which is amazing because the guy was laying in bed because he was injured. I want to say he fell off a horse, but I might be wrong about that.
you're just saying that because it was the 1800s.
Maybe, but he was injured, so he was laid up in bed. And, like, he was laying there. He was immobilized, and the guy still couldn't kill him, which I thought was kind of funny.
And what a loser.
Yeah. So, and then he stabbed a bunch of other people in the house, it seems like. But he didn't die, and then the guy that was supposed to kill Johnson was like, well, I'm not gonna do that. Because I guess originally they were like, we're gonna kidnap him. But then they're like, well, fuck it. We'll just kill him. It's like at some point, Booth was just like, "I'm gonna kill him instead."
Huh. I didn't know all that, but
it was really well done and really interesting. So I definitely recommend it. Unfortunately, Tom Hanks does not get drunk.
Damn.
So don't expect that, but
he's just so classy.
Yeah, but it was really interesting.
Cool.
And, yeah.
Sweet.
I guess that's it. You gotta go watch a hockey game.
I do. I gotta go watch. It is now the Stanley Cup Finals, and I can't, you know.
Well, I mean, your team is in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not just like it's happening. It's, you know, Bruins are playing Stanley Cup Finals, you know. I can't believe, honestly, that I've even seen it twice in the last 3 years. That's crazy. So I definitely got to watch because the next time that happens is probably going to be a long time from now.
Yeah. If you need me, I'll be on Twitter looking at all the tweets from my Boston friends celebrating the game and all the tweets from the Pittsburgh people that are still pissed off.
Yeah, they don't answer me, or at least some of them, the ones that I know.
Yeah.
They don't answer my taunts.
It's really funny because sometimes it really is like people are having an argument.
Yeah.
Because there'll be one right after the other in my Facebook feed.
It's great.
And I just sit back and laugh because I really don't care that much.
Yeah. I hear you.
Anyway. Cool. All right. So, shit, I had a story about time travel and driving, but I'll have to save that for another day then.
All right. Thank you. No. Not thank you.
You can say thank you.
Thank you for listening to another exciting edition of the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodela.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio. Make sure you check us out on the Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong, on Twitter at BYW Podcast, and on the YouTube. We got a few videos on there. Keith's done an amazing job, and that's also BYW Podcast. And Keith, you got anything to add?
No, congratulations on getting the YouTube address right.
Yeah, I know. I never do that, but I've made it a point to remember it. I sat there and I said it to myself about 1,000 times. It worked. And remember, everyone, no regrets. And if you're going to be out in the sun all day, go get your hat.
I like it.